seven churches right here in Calumet that probably in their finest hours were just loaded with people. In the finest hours of the mining industry, and maybe most recently. Now they are art centers, historic centers, garden centers, and a habitat for humanity. Or they're just boarded up. In either case, they are no longer God centers. And you have to kind of wonder whether they lost their status as churches because of population decrease here, or because maybe they became irrelevant due to just lack of interest. Ask yourself, did the busyness of life take priority in the growth of this community here, of this community? You know, when I was young, and I was young once when I was a child, going to church was just as important to us as going to school. Did anybody live in that era? Okay, good. We have a few here. And parents wanted their children to have a balance between book knowledge and between physical and spiritual growth. That's how I grew up. It seemed that church, for me, was a steady routine. And my friends and their parents were always off to some church on Sunday. And oddly enough, each church was somewhat filled with people. You would go by each church, and in their parking lot, the parking lots would be filled with cars. You notice I didn't say horse and buggy, so I don't go that far back. But you saw a different perspective. All of your neighbors looked different because they were dressed up in coat and tie. That was pretty interesting. And they were dressed in their finest just to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know whether it was through habit or that they all attended from a great desire to worship and know more about God. Maybe it was a sincere search for things of God, because at that time when I was going to church as a youngster, World War II and the Korean War weren't that far, weren't that long ago. All I know is that there seemed to be a spirit of reverence and a knowledge of the existence of God, and there was no question. The question was only whether you follow him or not, but there was no question about the existence of God. Boy, I remember those days, because we would go to dress up and go to church, and we'd come home, and we would have that Sunday dinner. It was probably the only big meal we had throughout the week, the Sunday dinner of fried chicken and mashed potatoes and cream corn and apple pie and salad. Boy, can we do that tonight, hon? Yeah. Anyway. And then we would change our clothes, and we would do what? Does anybody remember back then what we did on a Sunday afternoon on a pretty day? What did we do? We went for a drive. Absolutely. We all packed into Dad's car, old 49 Ford, just chugging on three of the six cylinders, and go up to the mountainside just to enjoy God's splendor. It was truly a day of rest. No stores were open. Can you imagine that? No stores were open. There were no distractions. Nothing else was scheduled. It was a day in which you went, today's just going to be a day to enjoy church, enjoy family, and just play and have quiet time. Things have changed, haven't they? It seems that our culture has dramatically changed, and Sunday to many is just another day. People have to work on Sundays. There are soccer tournaments, baseball tournaments, and graduations to go to on Sundays. And other scheduled events are happening on Sundays, which take us away from where? From God's house. It certainly takes us away from having any rest. We are facing competition from the world every Sunday as it relates to our church or any church. and God has low priority because other things seem to creep in and affect attendance and participation in church. Do I get amen on that? A sad amen on that? You know, we even have had the opening day of deer season a couple years ago on when? On a Sunday. Bridge Fest. Be down there early for the canoeing and all that. On what? On a Sunday. We've hit into a situation that we've become a nation that's more about doing things, personal wealth, than it is about building God's kingdom. And I believe, certainly, if we are to survive as a Christian culture, that's very necessary to rebuild the house of God in this community and in our own homes. Do I have an amen on that? Okay. So we rebuild our houses, not in just a physical sense, but in a personal, deep spiritual sense. We need to build a foundation of worship and prayer in the heart of this church and in the heart of each and every one of us. And most particularly, I think we need to take careful consideration or careful thought to the roads or ways that we take so that we're blessed by God. As we pursue His roads, there are true blessings that are available to us. And that we don't fall into disrepair as a church or as individuals. So, today we start a new four-part sermon series from the book of Haggai. We will go through a whole book of the Bible in the next 4 weeks, which I think is very interesting. And I call this series, Time to Build the House of the Lord. And part one, or today, we will discuss about thinking about our ways towards God, and the sermon is called Give Careful Thought to Your Ways. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Haggai, chapter 1. So I want you to turn to your Bibles, if I can find my Bible. Okay. Should always have this on hand. Haggai's in the Old Testament, right after Zephaniah. Before Zechariah. Page 667 in your pew Bible. So those of you that don't have Bibles, grab a pew Bible and go to page 667. Is that right? Okay. Let's turn to that in our Bibles. But before we do, why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm excited to be here to study God's Word. Let's do that. I'm excited to be here to study God's Word. I don't want to do this again, folks. Don't make me do it. I'm excited to be here to study God's Word. Okay. Much better. Much better. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the God came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You drink, but you never have enough. I mean, you eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up in the mountain and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We love you so much. We ask, Lord, that as we study Haggai, you will give us a new perspective of what you want from us and how you want us to build your house. In the quietness of this sanctuary, Lord, we ask for your presence, because this house is yours. This is a place where we meet you. This is a place where we talk to you. So, dear Lord, we ask for your special touch, your special anointing on this sermon, and that, Lord, you will use my lips to parse out your scripture in a way that we can understand it and live by it each and every day. So that, Lord, I humbly come before you and just ask that you will reveal to us your will for our lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, amen. Let me kind of paint the scenery for you. It was 586 B.C. I think only Jerry and I remember that date, in which the Babylonians invaded Israel. They overthrew Jerusalem, and they totally destroyed Jerusalem's temple, the temple where God resided. They were there in Babylonia for 70 years, as prophesied by the prophets. Fortunately, the Babylonians were overthrown by the Persian, and King Cyrus decided to allow the Jews to return to Israel and rebuild their communities and the temple. But it's interesting, they were finally free from captivity, finally free to go, and there was only a remnant that went back to their homes to rebuild the temple. Can you believe that? Some say there were 250, maybe up to 500,000 people that were in captivity in Babylon, and only 50,000 went back to restore what God had once given them. I can just imagine they were so excited. They had high excitement, high anticipation. Finally, we get a chance to go home. Finally, we get a chance to bring the glory back to the temple as it once was. Finally, we won't be worshiping in synagogues. We'll have our own temple again to worship in. Unfortunately, they had much opposition to this. They had opposition with the Samaritans, who was a mixed race that wanted to be involved in the temple, and they had fears that they would change the temple worship. They had opposition from the government, and eventually they gave up. And it became so difficult to build the temple that they couldn't fight anymore. So after a few years, they packed up their tools and they went home, and they spent most of their time with their personal lives. So for 14 to 16 years, instead of building the temple of God or God's house, they focused on rebuilding what? Their own houses and their own homes. And it's at this point now that we get in Haggai. At this point, we hear God saying, this is just not right. This time we see a rebuke from God. So we see that in these verses what God had to say to the remnant about building his house and how it applies to us today. So let's unpack these verses and kind of see what God said to the returning Israelites, as well as let's see how we can apply the scripture to our lives. So let's start by the first thing that God has said to them. And basically what he points out to them is, you know what? You attend to your own house while God's house is in ruins. So he's saying, people, we have a big problem. There's something here that just isn't right. Isn't it interesting that God used the term these people? Let me read this to you. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourself to be living in your penal houses while this house remains in ruin? Isn't it interesting? These people. Didn't it used to be my people? Wasn't the old covenant? You obey my statutes and my commandments. I will be your God and you will be my people. There needs to be a change here, I think God's telling them. Something is dramatically wrong, and it seems that God's not happy with what's going on. You know, it's sort of like when we were growing up. How many times when we did something right, our parents say, that's my boy. You've heard that. Or that's my girl. But when we do something wrong, it's that boy did that. And that girl, I don't know why she did that. It's really kind of interesting that our parents' mindset is that we wouldn't do anything wrong. Because my boy would never do that. My daughter would never do that. And that's what we see here. So God is saying something is wrong, and we soon find out that these people are deciding on their own that even after 14 or 16 years, they're too busy, and they're deciding on their own that it is not time yet to rebuild the temple. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then God gave them a pointed rebuke. Don't you hate this when that happens? You know how your parents always rebuked you, or they rebuked me? Things like, do you really believe you can get away with this? Yes, Mom, I do. Do you think I wouldn't know what you're doing? Well, I was kind of hoping. But that's what God is saying. That's what God's saying here. He's saying, it's not time to build my house, but you spend a lot of time, resources, and money building your own house. Something's wrong here. Not only that, he said, you have beautiful paneled rooms while my house is in shambles. Back then, and back in those times, a paneled room was signified that somebody was very rich. Paneled room consisted of wood that was not native to the immediate area, but paneled wood came from Lebanon, so it was imported. So here they are, they have imported wood on their walls, and they have gorgeous homes. And God is saying, something's not right here. Something is just not right. You say, boy, that story is interesting, but how does that apply to us? Well, I just think that it's the same with our culture. You've seen it, I've seen it. We focus time on our own houses, our own luxuries, our own possessions, while our churches, as we showed, and our personal spiritual life slowly go into ruin and shambles. And the house, our house, our holy temple that was made for God, is now in shambles. And our churches are now boarded up. Point two is God goes on to say, you've sown much for yourself without much to show for it. And I say, how's that working for you? Let's read that. Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. They must have been in the UP. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes on it. So God said here at this point, maybe you should carefully consider your ways. I love the way David Busey puts it. He says, in the Hebrew, it makes even better sense because it is a figure of speech which literally says, put your heart on your roads. Or consider what direction your life is headed. And if you really want to continue that way, that's what it is. It's like, isn't that great? Put your heart on the road and say, oh, this doesn't feel good. Boy, my heart's breaking. Something's missing. This isn't the path I want. I need to consider my life now because this really isn't the way I want to live it. And that's turning around and placing our hearts towards God. And wanting to be more like Him and more with Him. That's considering our ways. To put our hearts on the road or the path that He's given us. You planted much, you harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages, only put them in a purse with holes. Ever hear the phrase that money is burning a hole in my pocket? Why is that? Because there's always more things to buy. There's always more things to have. I guess we ask ourselves, does it bring us the true satisfaction that we want? All these things and all these pursuits. And I think, just like Dr. Phil, and I've used this phrase, but I think God likes Dr. Phil because that's what God's saying here. He says, you do all things, and how's that working for you? How's that working for you? We work long hours. We attend to the things in life, and it never seems enough. I'm going to hear Phil that way. All the things we do just never seems enough. I'm glad it's not a lot of people do. Ever hear the song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction? That's where the Israelites were. And guess what? They tried, and they tried, and they tried, and they can't get no satisfaction. And maybe he's saying here that our priorities sometimes get pretty messed up. You see, we continue to have this God-shaped void in our lives that only gets filled up by putting God in there. How many believe that? I believe this firmly. He satisfies me, has always satisfied me more than money, things, projects, and listen to this, even fishing. But don't get me wrong, He can prosper us. He can put those things in our lives. He'll even go fishing with us. But we need to take Him along. We need to make Him part of everything we do. We need to let Him control us and not those things control us. There's nothing wrong with being prosperous. There's nothing wrong with having projects. But there is something wrong when that becomes your God instead of God Himself. And you will never get any satisfaction by pursuing those things outside of God. Outside of God. So consider this, he says. Consider the road you are now taking, and consider the path that he has set out for you. Because he has a great path set out for you. He really does. Okay, point three. God more or less says this to us. Let's get to it. To please and glorify God. I love this the best. Let's read this. Haggai chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build my house, that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. So one more time, he says, be careful and look where your heart is on the road, on the path that you're taking. Consider it. Think about it. Think about it and think about the path that he wants for us. Our moms and dads told us this. Think about where you're going, son. Was it hateful that our parents would do that? Or do they want to protect us and provide for us? And so God said, just do it. It was simple as that. Just do it. Go up in the woods and get the timber. Bring it in. And why? So that he can take pleasure in it and be honored. Imagine that. We have a God that wants to be with us. We have a God that says, build my house so you all can come. Build my house because it pleases me to be with all of you. Build my house because I want to communicate with you. I want to do things for you. I want to be available to you. It wasn't an egotistical thing. Build my house so you can honor me. No, build my house because it pleases me and it puts me in a place of honor. If you want to honor me, that's what you do. How many people want to honor God? Absolutely. So what's he saying? Well, let's get to it. Let's build my house because I want you. I want a relationship with you. I want your life to be better. He wants a place to dwell with us. Place where we can all come together and celebrate. That's what he wants. And it pleases him that we can be together. I don't know how I can kind of explain it to you. It's sort of like grandparents. How many grandparents do we have here? Okay. Grandparents, I got to ask you this question. If you can bring all your sons and daughters and grandchildren into your house, is that bad? How many of you does that please? All of you? It pleases us. I can't wait to have grandchildren. I can't wait to have my kids bring their kids to my house. That's the analogy. He can't wait for you to bring your whole family into this house. That's his mindset. That's a grandfather's mindset. And he's much holier and much greater than a grandfather. No offense, Jerry. But he is. He really is. So that's his heart. So he says, let's get building. Let's do this because I want to be with you. He wants to dwell with us. And you know, we can't do this as a church or individual without building a place or space for him to dwell. And when we clutter our lives up with things and projects, how much room do we leave for God? Not much. Not much at all. So we need uncluttered hearts and minds so that there's room for him. And how do we do this? We do this by intentionalizing being with him through prayer and through Bible study. Going to small groups to build a church and by fellowshipping with others, by doing his work through missions and outreaches, things that build us individually and the church corporately. That's what God wants for us. He's telling all of us, go get the timber. Go grab the book. Come with me, because I want to dwell with you, because it pleases me and it honors me. If you really want to honor me, that's what I want from you. Lastly, God talks about our dry times. Item 4. You expect much from your own efforts and it blows away. Just a portion of Haggai. Maybe we'll read just verse 9. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. It's funny that we strive for many things and God's just waiting just to give us things. And sometimes he gets our attention by maybe giving us a drought or giving us dry times. But if we continue to live our lives without God, I guarantee you, whether it's God motivated or not, you will have times of drought. I guarantee you that your heart and soul will experience a dryness about life and its futility. We've all been there when we separate ourselves from God. That dryness, that thirsting for something that you can't find. I'm not sure that God sends any curses to us, or if it's the natural consequences of us separating ourselves from God and putting our church and our relationship with Him as a last priority. I don't know what it is. When we separate ourselves from God, sometimes we're out from His umbrella of protection when He wants to have that relationship sometimes. You know, it's a dry time when we're so busy that we, even as pastors, miss our time with Him. Missing that prayer time, that prayer closet time. And if we are dry enough, we face boredom, routine, and certainly dissatisfaction, thirsting for more and just never quenching that thirst. This might be a pretty dark place to stop, but sort of like Paul Harvey, I need to tell you the rest of the story. And what we read in verse 12 through 15 is this, that we find Israel begins to take steps because they knew that God spoke through Haggai. They knew that God was speaking to them through this prophet. And so they carefully considered their way and they feared God. I want to be very careful on this. Because fear isn't the frightening fear. Fear is a knowledge of the awesomeness of God. How great God is and how small we are. So they were in awe, saying He's communicating with us and He wants to dwell with us. And if we want to be closer to God, we just need to be able to build His house so that we can spend time with Him. And then the greatest message of all comes from God in verse 13. And here's what He says. He passes a message down to Haggai to tell the people from God, I am with you. Now, how great is that? In an instant, I am with you. How great is that? Sometimes we think that we've done so many bad things that we could never, never close that gap. And 1 second when they said, okay, we're going to build your house, He was with them. Now, how great is that? What a great ending to this particular chapter. And you know what? Building God's house isn't as difficult as it seems. All He wants you to do is just show up. And He'll be there with you. All He wants you to do is have communications, and He'll be there revealing things to you. He's there to help put His house in order. I guarantee you, if you're working in His house, He will check your spirit when you want to say something or do something that's out of the best that He wants for us. He'll do that. So He will even help us build our spiritual house and build the house here of God. That is, if we just let Him. And what a glorious day it is in life when we allow God into this building and into our lives. And we continue to build His house, both individually and corporately. Let's go to the cartoon here. Okay, this isn't what I had in mind when they asked if I enjoyed working on church boards. You know what? When we follow God, we're going to do things that we never thought was on our minds. But it's going to be good because He takes great pleasure and He feels honored for us to want to dwell with Him. We must remember, though, that unless the Lord builds this house, or our personal house, unless the Lord builds it, we labor in vain. unless the Lord watches over the city or watches over this church and watches over us, the watchmen stand guard in vain. But we need to show up. We need to show up. Just remember those words. And when we show up, he says, I am with you. I am with you. So where are your priorities in life? Is your life in the excitement of being with him and seeing him work? Or are you dry today and you can't get no satisfaction no matter what you try and what you do? Do you want this church boarded up like the others and your family to fall in disrepair? Or do you want to please God by honoring him to be present in this building and in your hearts? And the last thing I got to say for all of us, let's carefully consider your ways. Put your heart on the road you are traveling. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We just thank you for giving us such a beautiful day. Lord, we just can't believe that you want to be with us. We just can't believe, Lord, that you want a relationship with us. An awesome, almighty God. Just seems like we don't deserve it. Certainly, Lord, we don't deserve you sending your son to die for us on the cross. We certainly don't deserve that. We don't deserve the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came here fully man and fully God just to be with us, just to dwell with us. And when God said, I am with you, you sent, Lord, your son to be with us so that we can see him in the flesh and watch his nature and know who you are. We thank you for that. And we thank you for the good news that we can come to you and confess our sins and you will take us and save us from the harms of the world. At this point in the service, I always ask this very, very important question. And that is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? I'm going to ask that question again, because if you don't, he wants to dwell with you. He wants a relationship with you. Maybe today's the day of your salvation. When you say the prayer, dear Lord, I repent of my sins. And I run with you. And you're going to welcome me because you want a relationship with me. You're going to forgive my sins, Lord. I am so broken about that, Lord. My heart is broken but wide open to you. And Lord, I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask, I have to ask, whether anybody has said that prayer for the first time. If so, I ask you to put your hand up and right back down. Put your hand up and right back down. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, for any of us that are facing dry times, Lord, draw us closer. Help us, Lord, not to board up our hearts towards you. Help us, Lord, to build your church. Help us, Lord, to dwell with you every second of the day. We pray these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who died for us and gave his life up for us so that we may live again.